My name is Naomi Porter. I'm 13 years old. Today is July 6th, and I'm speaking with Dave Milam. We are recording this interview in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. First question, tell me a little bit about your childhood.
I grew up in Westchester, California, adjacent to LA International Airport. I'm the eldest of three sons. Parents grew up in a small town in Indiana of 300 people. So I was raised by Hoosiers in Southern California, which is not an easy thing to do. Went to local schools, graduated from Westchester High. Was active in the church youth group. Parents were active in the community with the YMCA and the church. Dad was a pioneer in the helicopter industry and was the first pilot for a helicopter airline called Los Angeles Airways. Ultimately became the operating executive. The company had a 25-year life and then didn't make it for economic reasons. So. I was a paper boy. I was a bottle sorter at the local grocery store in junior high. Became a stocker in the grocery store, ultimately a checker and a manager by the time I was a senior in high school. And on Sundays, I was in charge of the whole store. So we started working at grammar school, junior high, and hardly ever stopped until I retired. What else would you like to ask?
What types of toys did you play with?
Wooden blocks were a favorite. At the younger age, the pins that you hammer through and turn it over and hammer it through. I was told by my mother that I would spend lots of time just hammering.
So. Can you tell me about one of the most difficult times in your life?
We got to pick one. Probably the most difficult season was a stage 4 melanoma cancer journey in the early 90s when I was basically told to make plans, and that was tough. We had a daughter in high school at the time and two college students, so it was it sort of got your attention on what's important in life.
What advice would you give to your teenage self?
My teenage self. As a teenager, I was pretty active. I was part of an honor society in a high school, football player, moderator of the youth group. Working all the time. I probably didn't play enough, although I love sports, but I was pretty intense.
Tell me about the most important lessons you've learned in life.
I think if I were to, and I have conveyed this to my kids, not to the grandkids. And I think it's real important that you pay attention to what you sense, what you perceive, what your intuitions are telling you, what your feelings are telling you, what your thoughts are telling you, and act on that. Act on your own judgment and be prepared to learn. Sort of do your own thinking and then check it out. But don't overly depend and rely on group thinking or fads or even professors or bosses.
Can you tell me a little bit about your job?
Uh, I had a varied career. I started out in the aerospace industry as an experiment at the corporate office of Northrop Corporation as a financial analyst right out of graduate school. And then I joined the aircraft division of Northrop in 1969 and started an in-house consulting group. And at the same time, that division was reducing itself from 12,000 employees to roughly 6,000 employees 2 years later. And so I found myself with a young group of professionals trying to bring business sense and common sense and people sense to the business issues at the time. And it was very rewarding, but very difficult because there was so much tension in the air. And from there I worked on advanced programs in the company's business manager. Left after 10 years, and I had what I call my dark years. I was going to go back and get a second graduate degree in organizational development. In order to do that, and take a sabbatical and re-educate myself, I was going to pursue some entrepreneurial ventures. And it turned out, although I was a rugby player and a football player and competitive, that I really was not an entrepreneur, and we had two or three failures, depending on how you count them, in about a 4-year period. And then I went and what I wanted to do was to put more heart into organizations and into business. And so we started doing that without the advanced training and built a consulting practice in organizational change and transformation. And that was my career for a quarter of a century. And I loved it. Got organizations and people to deal with what was right in front of them. They knew it. They just weren't prepared necessarily to deal with it. And I always tried to posture myself as the facilitator, not the outside expert, and using the Socratic method to get organizations to choose for themselves what changes they were prepared to make and then do it.
What are you proudest of professionally and personally in your life?
Personally, our marriage and our family, and now grandchildren, an extended family, great satisfaction. Also, I've always been very active participating in our local church in multiple roles, and have sort of grown up and transformed myself over the decades on that faith journey. And I'm grateful that I was able to find a niche in a career where we could help others make the changes they wanted to make and do so in creative ways.
What important lessons has your religion, Christianity, taught you, and how has it shaped your life?
I wouldn't be the person I am but for my faith journey. I think when I made that change away from business management in that career at Northrop to become a change agent, to put the heart into business and have more teamwork and make a greater difference. Part of that decision was from my own personal development in workshops and small groups here at St. Peter's that had me identifying with a need and a want for a lot more humanity in the workplace and a lot more deeds rather than inaction.
How has St. Peter's been a meaningful place for you?
Would almost have to answer that question in seasons. We when we first joined St. Peter's, the senior pastor arrived at the door the first week and invited us to come back the second week. And 3 weeks later, the youth pastor showed up. We had just moved into the community, bought our home, and didn't have a lot of discretionary income. And my wife said, well, we could always be youth sponsors. That would be a way to give to the church. So that was an important part. Would you repeat the question?
How has St. Peter's been a meaningful place for you?
We got very active in small groups early on, and then participated in a workshop called Marriage Enrichment that was sponsored. And at that time, I was a 60-hour-a-week type A professional, a young family at home. And I haven't had very many mountaintop experiences, but that was one of them. I didn't know where this interview would come up, but I ended up, that marriage enrichment was designed around dialoguing with your spouse, first writing your thoughts on a scripture or a prodding question, and then reading what you had written to your spouse. And that that Christmas, both my wife and I were looking at life much differently. And I'd said, I wished I could express it. And she said, you can write, having done the writing in this workshop. And I said, I wrote this poem for in Christmas of 1977. Soaring, rolling out with unashamed faith, with freshness and newness, rolling out, lifting off while constrained by the gravity of hesitation, even while pulled down by the natural habits of our old and conditioned ways, even while anxious when flying and frightened of failing and seeming foolish, finding the power to lift off from Him, lifting off, climbing by freeing our innermost selves and by pursuing our own most gnawing questions, even if unanswered or unasked, learning to love ourselves and others through Him, soaring with our capacity to be loved and to love, gliding atop the currents by seeking God's will, by discovering our reasons for living this life, this day, this moment, riding the currents by living our reasons for life, finding God's will through searching, study, fellowship, prayers, communion, and stepping out through action by trying, stumbling, and trying again, living His will, soaring, climbing, rolling, diving, soaring, not without risk, resistance, strain, or turbulence, soaring, free will to land or never take off, free will to fly out of control, stalling, spinning, or even crashing, free will to always hesitate too long and never lift off from our old and conditioned ways, to choose our fears over soaring, free will to never soar, to continue to deny ourselves our capacity for good, free to soar, soaring with joy, faith, hope, and love, soaring. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and may moments in a lifetime of soaring be yours. Dave Milam, Christmas, 1977.
Wow, that's really special. I quite like that. Okay. Can you tell me about your involvement within St. Peter's?
I've mentioned marriage enrichment. Carol and I became leaders of multiple marriage enrichment seminars. We've both been active in small groups for a quarter of a century, both as participants and as co-leaders. I was a Sunday school teacher once. I'd mentioned youth ministry or sponsors. Been a deacon, been an elder for four different pastors, including the founding pastor, currently the stewardship elder. Both my wife and I are Stephen ministers, and that's a very important part of our engagement here at St. Peter's. And I'm sure there's more. We've been around a while. We joined the church in 1970.
What changes do you see for kids growing up now in contrast from your childhood?
One of the fondest memories I have, and I didn't mention earlier, is childhood. We grew up, I mentioned, in Westchester. And at that time, just two blocks away, were the bean fields. The 405 freeway's there now, and the Howard Hughes property, and that redevelopment. But we had to be home when the lights went on, street lights went on, and you know, we took our bikes, we took our walks, we were outdoors adventuring, and now I think the kids spend a lot more time on their screens and a lot less time adventuring in bean fields, and particularly after heavy rains. And so.
Okay, to wrap it up, can you tell me about a memorable story or experience you have that you'd like to reflect on?
Would you repeat the question?
Tell me about a memorable story or experience you have that you would like to reflect on.
The hesitation is there's a lot to reflect on. I think a current reflection is I had the opportunity to participate on the planning committee meeting here at St. Peter's, and then most recently as a member of the session and our stewardship elder. And part of that process was reflecting on how different the church is today versus when we were youth sponsors, and then our three kids grew up here at St. Peter's, and all were married by St. Peter's pastors. And those were times where there was a degree of fullness and activity and energy and intergenerational engagement that's not the same today. I'm one of three brothers, and I'm the only one that worships regularly. I've got three adult children, and just one of those three worship regularly. And I'm not clear of how the churches, and specifically this church, needs or wants to operate differently to touch those lives that aren't being touched. I think I identify not just with the empty pews, but more importantly, it would be judgmental to say the empty lives. But I know that I'm a different person than I would otherwise be, and I think there's a lot of people out there that would be different people than they otherwise would be if they were on a faith journey and on a faith journey with others. So if I'm reflecting, that's one of the areas I reflect on.
Okay, thank you so much for your time.
Okay.